Denied one, and today is February the 5th, 1990, and we're visiting with Rabbi Morris Landis, representing the Pittsburgh section of the National Council of Jewish Women Oral History, and this is Harold Kimball and Howard Braun interviewing. And now I'll ask you, Rabbi, will you give us your name and address, please?
My name is Morris A. Landis. I live at 5520 Wellesley Avenue in the Highland Park area of Pittsburgh.
I will record you better. The first question, we'd like to know something about your immediate family, father, mother, and siblings, and anything of special significance in your family, and include the names of the parents and the full names of siblings. That's the first step. Okay? You're on.
Very good. My parents were Rabbi and Mrs. Henry A. Landis. My father was rabbi in a suburb of Boston, Massachusetts, Revere, Massachusetts. He was rabbi of two synagogues, and he was there for well over 55 years. I have two brothers and one sister. My sister Marilyn is living in Jerusalem. My brother Leo is an insurance man. He now lives on Long Island, and his place of business is in Manhattan. And my other brother is rabbi of the Beth Shalom congregation in Philadelphia. That's the only congregation that Frank Lloyd Wright built. Mm-hmm. And he's been there for well over a quarter of a century. He was also a rear admiral in the U.S. Navy Reserves. That's the highest rank that any Jew.
What was his name?
Aaron Landis.
Aaron.
Aaron Landis. That's the highest rank that a Jew has ever achieved in the U.S. Navy.
Just hold one moment. The next question is, did we do the children? Are there children to be
my mentioned? Children?
Yes.
Yes. My children are Nina Ann. She is she's a graduate of Carnegie Mellon and of Weizmann Institute in Israel. She is a chemist, and she's married to a physicist. He is Dr. George Berger. He is a native of Santiago, Chile. He graduated University of Santiago, Weizmann Institute, and Technion. He got his master's at, as my daughter did, master's at Weizmann and doctorate at Technion. They're living in a kibbutz outside of Nahariya in northern Israel. My second daughter is Sharon. Sharon Friedel. If you want the middle name of my first daughter, it's Nina Ann. Sharon Friedel, and she is she's a graduate of Brandeis University. She is in banking. She was a vice president of the Citicorp, and she was also a vice president of the First Interstate Bank of California. She is now doing her own business, where she trains, as she did previously, she trains personnel for organizations. One of the organizations that she trains personnel for is First Interstate of California, and also Levi Strauss, for example. She is married to Steve Borchoff, and he is a vice president of Citicorp, and he is the chief financial chief financial officer of Citicorp, I think it's called ITT anyway, but he's one of the major men there. My third child, incidentally, my daughter Nina has five children, four boys and a girl. My son is Mark Aaron, and he is living in Israel, right outside of Haifa, in a place called Kiryat Atta. He is the he's in quality control for Carmel Forge. They make engines for airplanes. Their major client is Pratt Whitney, and he's the in charge of quality control and all of the English things that come out of there. In other words, if any of the correspondence is done with the United States and so forth, a lot of it is done with them, it has to go through his hands. That's about, those are the three children, yeah.
Okay, would you care to discuss the home life, as you recall it, in your early years? Was the atmosphere religious, economic, cultural, disciplines, whatever that means?
Well, the atmosphere was very religious. My
I'm
father
sure.
was a rabbi. And economically, we went through the Depression years. Nobody was making a living, but somehow they managed to squeeze through. Insofar as schooling there, I went to public school, but it was an all-Jewish neighborhood. There was the system in Boston is 6 grades, 3 grades, 3 grades. In the first 6 grades, there were about one or two non-Jews in the entire school. When the Jewish holiday came along, the school closed down. Then the junior high school, we were about 70% of the population, the school population. And we became a minority only when we entered high school, and then we were still 30% of the population.
Most unusual. How were the synagogue involvements and the bar mitzvahs and the Sunday school confirmation?
Well, in the in those days, we this was an Orthodox community. In those days, there was no such thing as Sunday school, at least in our community.
Right.
We went to afternoon Hebrew school. I went through afternoon.
Cheder.
Yeah, Cheder. Well, it was, but it had its own building. It was a regular building with classrooms and teachers who were. Registered teachers. Don't forget that Boston had a good teachers' college.
Yes.
And, they were graduates of the teachers' college. We went through. We went to Hebrew school for 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, including Sunday. Since we were a resort area, we didn't even get off during the summer months.
Mm-hmm.
We got 2 weeks off during the summer. And in our last 2 years, we even had classes on Saturday, so we were going 6 days a week. And by I graduated at 11, which was about the youngest that anybody graduated. And they, by time...
Was that high school?
No, this was...
Grade school.
Grade school. Well, yeah. No, this was... This went most of my... This is the Hebrew school.
Oh, oh,
yes.
I see.
Now, most of the my classmates were in high school. I was in still in grammar school. I was 11 years old when I graduated. And we had gone through all of the five books... all of the five books of Moses and the early prophets in Hebrew. We could write Hebrew compositions. We could... we studied history, Jewish history, but we studied it in Hebrew. We studied Hebrew grammar and so forth. So this was what we had there. When one of the youngsters was set for bas mitzvah, we didn't have in those days. But one of the when a boy was ready for bar mitzvah, for several weeks beforehand, one of the teachers would just sit down and teach him. It wasn't a case of having to spend a year or so, because they had already had the background. Mm-hmm. And he taught them for a few weeks before. I was already out of school at the time. My father had hired two teachers, one to teach me Chumash, the five books of Moses, and one to teach me Talmud. And one of them taught me for my bar mitzvah, and then when it came before the bar mitzvah, I have a terrible voice. Once it came before bar mitzvah, my father tested me and he didn't like it, and then he taught me the bar mitzvah. But I don't think my voice was the best. I gave a good speech, if I recall, but my voice was not...
Do you remember your portion?
Noach. The second portion in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, my father sent me to a yeshiva, Talmudic study group in Chelsea, which is right next to Revere.
What was the name of it?
I don't know whether it had a name. There was a rabbi in one of the synagogues in Chelsea that had it. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't happy about that. So after that, he taught me himself, 2 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the extent of my.
Was it tough being your father's student?
He was one of the best translators of the Talmud. We translated into Yiddish, translators of the Talmud that I've ever come across. Mm-hmm. To give you an idea.
Good.
When I came to Yeshiva University, then it was Yeshiva College, mm-hmm. Rabbi Isaac Elchanan mm-hmm. Theological Seminary. When I came there, that was when I entered into high school. I went to high school at Yeshiva College. I had already gone through three of the major tracts of the Talmud, and. If you want the names, I can give you the names, mm-hmm. Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, and Baba Basra.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there, I was immediately put into one of the higher grades.
Mm-hmm. What year did you go to that, to the Elkhorn?
I came there in 1939.
Mm-hmm. How did this affect, or maybe it didn't affect, your school, your regular school?
Well, at my regular school, I was mostly a student in public school.
Mm-hmm.
In the last year, I only went for half a day because I was spending the rest of the time studying Talmud. Mm-hmm. If I had not gone a half a day and taken full time, then I would have had about six more credits, and I would have been the valedictorian of the class rather than the minister's son, who did become the valedictorian.
So how was it in your high school, discipline, in elementary and high school where you attended? Would you like to talk about happened there?
Well, I don't know how it is now, but at that time the caliber of training in Massachusetts was very high. We got a good, solid elementary school education, had a good education in junior high. In junior high, we studied algebra already. At the eighth grade, we studied algebra. And we studied French in the eighth grade. Yes, we started French in the eighth grade. And then I at least studied French and Latin. Others took German.
Mm-hmm. How was the discipline there?
The discipline was excellent. I mean, at that time, youngsters were not rambunctious, and if a teacher said something, that was it. So we were, but it was if I can recall, in high school it was more or less informal, in the sense that you could pipe up and say anything in class if you disagreed with a teacher or something like that. You could say it, but it was, in other words, it was the give and take of the educational process, rather than trying to do things to irritate the teacher. Not that we were all saints, but that was the general atmosphere.
So, do you remember, of course you remember how old you were when you graduated high school?
Yeah, I was 17, 18.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Normal, right.
Yeah.
All right. How was life in that city of Boston?
Yes.
And culturally, politically, And how did it contrast with Pittsburgh, if you can remember?
Well, I wasn't in Pittsburgh at that time.
That's
at
right.
That time. But it was it had pockets. In other words, the pocket that we lived in was the pocket right on the ocean. It was called the Shirley Avenue area. And this, because that Shirley Avenue was the central street of that area. And that was practically entirely Jewish. Then there was the north side of the city, and that was the largest ethnic group there. That was almost entirely Italian. And then up an area called Point of Pines, which was also on the ocean side, but further up from the Jewish neighborhood, was a mixed area, but mostly Irish.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of that section?
Point of Pines. Mm-hmm. There was the Pines River, and this was the Point of Pines. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now,
incidentally, if this is of any interest,
sure.
That case that you had in Boston, where the fellow killed his wife and blamed it on
on the black.
He threw her body in the Pines River.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So although we were friendly with all of the groups, but the fact is that the groups had their own pockets.
Yeah. Was there any anti-Semitism?
Not as such. We didn't seem to encounter it because of the fact that we were all living amongst our own, so there wasn't that much of anti-Semitism there. You asked about the politics.
Mm-hmm.
It was the time of political parties, political bosses.
Curly.
Curly was in Boston, but we usually used to have an Irish or an Italian mayor. And they had their own entourages. It wasn't the least corrupt political system in the United States, but that was the way it was.
Mm-hmm. So did you like that city?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Seems that way. So these were your adolescent years. Was there fun, recreation in your community?
Yeah, we did all the normal things. I mean, things were not as organized. We had no organized community, even amongst the Jewish community where we were. People had a lot of children in those days. And so every street, the street that you lived on, had its own gang. It wasn't a gang in the sense of that you talk about gangs now.
Today.
It means that we got together, we had our own baseball team, we had our own basketball team, mm-hmm. and so forth. And we played, our competitors in the sports were in one of the other streets. You know, that was the setup. We played baseball, football, tag football mainly. But many times there were fields up above the hill where the streets were, and in the fields we would play tackle football. The city would ordinarily, about in the middle of November, flood a certain hollow down in the down below the hills, and that would freeze up. And in Boston, that stayed frozen from November to middle March, and that was for ice skating.
Wow.
So these were the type of things that we did. People had bikes, they had roller skates.
Mm-hmm. How was your education after high school, college, where you attended graduate study, if any?
Well, I went to college at Yeshiva College,
mm-hmm.
and I also simultaneously went to the Rabbinic Seminary, Rabbi Isaac Elchanan Theological Seminary, and I graduated there in 39. Did I say before that I graduated high school in 39?
You said you went in 39. You went to Rabbi Elkanan.
No, I went to 35.
In 35.
I graduated high school in 35.
Mm-hmm.
And graduated college in 39, and I was ordained in 1941.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Then after that, my first position was in Lynn, Massachusetts, right outside of Revere. It took me an hour and a half on a holiday to walk from Lynn to Revere to be with my parents. So while I was in Lynn, I did graduate work at Harvard. Then my second
position... The rabbi position was in Revere?
No, it was in Lynn.
In Lynn.
Yes, Lynn, Massachusetts. Yeah. Yeah, At one time, it was the shoe manufacturing center. Yes,
my first job at General Electric was at Lynn, Massachusetts.
Yes.
Yeah.
So so then from there, I went. I had a position in Johnstown, and that's where I met my wife. She's from Pittsburgh. And then from
there... What year did you get to Johnstown?
Johnstown, I got to Johnstown in 43. I was in Johnstown from 43 to 45 during the war years.
Mm-hmm.
Then from there, I went to Lancaster. And while I was in Lancaster, I went to Dropsy College in Philadelphia. That's a cognate, Judaic and cognate languages. It's not a seminary, but it's a university. And it... It did only graduate work. You could only get a PhD there. Mm-hmm. I was a year away from the PhD when I left Lancaster for Pittsburgh. I came to Pittsburgh in 48.
And why did Pittsburgh attract you? Because of your wife's relatives?
My wife comes from Pittsburgh. She's a granddaughter of Rabbi Aaron Ashinsky. In fact, my son is named after Rabbi Ashinsky.
Mm-hmm.
And he founded the Hebrew Institute.
Mm-hmm.
He founded the Home for the Aged.
Mm-hmm.
He founded the Hachnasas Ochim Free Lodging Society, but that's defunct. He was one of the pioneer. He was one of the two pioneer rabbis in Pittsburgh, and what happened is that I had come to Pittsburgh. The State of Israel had just been founded, and Bnei Brith asked me to come and speak about the State of Israel. And at that time, my congregation out of Jeshurun was looking for a rabbi, and there was a fellow, Herman Feinberg, who was active in Bnei Brith. And he asked me if I was interested in coming here. And at first I was sort of hesitant because I was happy where I was. But Rabbi Ashinsky said to me, "Yeah, come to Pittsburgh, we'll study together." So that was more or less the thing that decided me. But unfortunately, a couple of months after I came to Pittsburgh, he took sick, and we never did study together.
That was quite an offer.
Yes. Boy, we finished that. Would you like to talk about your courtship and marriage?
Well, I was in Lancaster. I was in Johnstown at the time. And I don't know, as a rabbi, I didn't want to date any girls from Johnstown because if you went out with a girl twice, they'd figure you're married already. So I used to go to Pittsburgh to... if I wanted a date, and I guess somebody introduced me to my wife, and I don't recommend it as a rule, but we had only been going together maybe for about 2-3 weeks when I asked her if she'd marry me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't recommend it. But we've been married. We've been married since then. We got married in 45, and we've been married since.
Well,
40.
Rabbi, if you have any better correlation about how to go around picking suitable marriage partners, I'd like to hear it sometime today. You should know the girl or not know the girl or let the parents pick.
Well, I think it's it depends on fortune.
Yeah, you did mention how you met, but I forgot already how you met.
Well, I say somebody had suggested her to me, and I called her up, asked her for a date, and she said yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, then you had a set-up house and think about raising children.
Regular shotgun or just...
somebody suggested.
How did you get started?
People had suggested other girls. I'd gone out with other girls.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you set up your house in Pittsburgh then?
No, we were in Johnstown at the time.
I see.
So it was during my last months of being in Johnstown,
mm-hmm.
and we had set up house for a couple of months, and then I transferred to Lancaster.
I see. And then did something take place for years before you came to Pittsburgh then? Or?
No, I came to Pittsburgh from Lynn, Massachusetts. As right. I said, I was rabbi in Lynn.
And in your early years, do you have anything to say about how it was?
No, I never had too great a problem in the rabbinate. I usually got along fairly well with my associates, the cantor, mm-hmm. teachers, Hebrew school teachers under my guidance, and so forth. So I never had any real problems in that way. Don't forget that I'd been in Massachusetts. I'd been in eastern, I suppose you'd call Lancaster, maybe central Pennsylvania and western Pennsylvania. And I have found that the Jews are the same all over.
Good.
For good or for bad.
So, would you like to comment on your home practices and atmosphere and family customs and traditions? And naturally, you were Orthodox through
yes,
it all.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, so far as at home, we had all of the Orthodox procedures at home, the sukkah, the Hanukkah candles, the Seder, I mean, the whole gamut mm-hmm. was there. The children went to day school, all three of them. They went to high school at Peabody, but they went to day school.
Mm-hmm. Do you have the names
named by,
of the children?
Hillel? Yeah, Hillel. They went to Hillel Academy.
Mm-hmm. They usually record the names of the children.
We have those.
Yeah. All right, so the social life, family vacations, hobbies, and religion, I think.
Yeah, well, vacations, we'd go, we used to go to, sometimes we'd go to Atlantic City, but we had a cottage right outside of Pittsburgh, and it's about, what shall I say, about 15, 20 miles outside of Pittsburgh. It's an area between, if somebody knows Pennsylvania, between Celianople and Rochester. It was called Brush Creek. They had it was a cottage. We rented actually all year round, but we'd go there for a month during the summer month when the children were young.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we sort of stopped.
Did we put down the neighborhood you lived in during that period?
You mean in
Pittsburgh? Yeah.
It was always in this neighborhood, Morningside, Highland Park area.
Mm-hmm. And how was the area, they want to know, anti-Semitism? Was there any of that in the neighborhood?
We didn't find any, although for a while there were kids throwing eggs at our house. Now, I don't know whether they're anti-Semitic, but I was the only rabbi on the street when they picked my house. So I don't know, so far as that goes. But the Jewish community here rose and dropped while I was here. When I first came here, where the synagogue is, was right in the center of the Jewish population. As we lived here, don't forget I've been here 42 years, as we lived here, Jewish population kept moving further and further towards Highland Park. Mm-hmm. And then for most of my ministry here, we were at the periphery, at the end of the Jewish neighborhood. Also, during that time, they developed Stanton Heights mm-hmm. area, and that rose from an area where they had just a few people there to, I think, during its heyday, 800 families moved into that area. To give you an idea, at one time...
What year would you put that?
Oh, that would have been in the 50s.
Were they mostly Jewish?
I'm talking about 800 Jewish families moved into that.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. And at one time, we had, in our beginner's class alone in Hebrew school, we had 55 children.
Mm-hmm.
In beginner's class alone, we had two beginner's class because the 55 children were too much to handle in one class. So this was how it went. Then afterwards, it began to drop. Now I think there are less Jewish families up in Stanton Heights than there were when I first came here. The Jewish population has been tending to move out of the area. We have, in other words, when we were at our peak, we had about 500 members in the congregation. Now we're down to 200-some members. mainly because... See, what used to happen before is if somebody would move out of the neighborhood, somebody else would move in, a child, mm-hmm. a grandchild, and so mm-hmm. forth. Now, when somebody moves out, you don't usually find people moving right. back in.
Suburbia has taken over.
Yeah, well, don't forget that at one time this was suburbia. They moved That's from right. the Hill District, yeah. the first place they moved to before Squirrel Hill, the first place they moved to was East Liberty. East mm-hmm. Liberty was the first stop in the migration from mm-hmm. the Hill.
Well, how about today? Are you currently involved in Jewish and community institutions, synagogue affiliations, organizations, community?
Yeah, well, I've been involved in these things throughout my stay here. I've been mainly active in the Zionist movement. Mm-hmm. I was twice president of the Zionist region. I was once president of the Zionist district. I was national vice president of the COA. Mm-hmm. I am still one of the five members nationally of the Court of Honor, which is supposedly, if any real problems arise, that we are the final judge of those problems. I've been in this capacity, I think, for about 10 years. We still have one case, but nevertheless, I am there, and it's nationally that only five are chosen. I was president of the Pittsburgh Zionist Council, and then I was the founding president of the Pittsburgh Zionist Federation. Here in Pittsburgh. I was also president of the Pittsburgh chapter of the American Jewish Congress, and in both cases I was on the administrative council.